This is an encore edition of the Hour of Intercession.
Anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verses 1 through 17, Luke chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace that rests upon your word. Thank you for the wisdom that your word provides for us. Thank you, Lord, for how that your word teaches us and helps us to see life in the world through your eyes, through your perspective, through your wisdom, through your truth. More and more, Father, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word. And help us to learn more so to walk in the wisdom and the power of your word and thus receive the blessings that are ours as we are wise enough to do that. We thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Guide us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Rick Robertson is our producer. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we are so thankful that you've given us a heart to read your word, that you've given us that desire. We thank you for that. Thank you for loving us that way. We thank you most of all for your dear son, Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross for us. We thank you for that today. We rejoice in that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And once again, we want to continue to remind and encourage you. Please do take the time to email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to receive some of the prayer tools or discipleship tools and resources we provide, we're glad to share them with you. They're also amongst them are some evangelism tools, too. As you email us and ask for them, our goal is that you'll use them for you and your own family, again, both to share the gospel with your family as well as to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. But also our goal is that on an ongoing basis, you'll forward them on to family, friends, loved ones, people that you know, because that's a way that you and I can partner together to do ministry on the by way of email and by way of the internet as well. Lots of people more or less live on the internet, and so it's a great place to do evangelism and discipleship. So again, if you'd like any of the resources that we provide, again, jparker@afa.net. We're honored and grateful to get a chance to send them to you. Hope that you'll email us and let us know that you'd like to receive them. Also, please do visit the AFA Resource Center, going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. There you'll find a number of books and other resources that'll help you and that will help to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord and help equip you to be a better equipped kingdom warrior in our world and in our culture. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Again, that's you find that at resources.afa.net. Today we're looking at the topic, God's perspective on life and the life issue. Again, God's perspective on life and the life issue. Now keep in mind, in this day and time in our culture, we see people are very, very passionate one way or another about the life issue. We see very much in the news and people protesting and marching either for life or standing against life as well. Well, you know, the Word of God tells us in one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. That's very clear. That's God's mind and perspective in part on the life issue. And it's very upfront. To murder is to take innocent life. And so tragically, we live in a culture where abortion is legal. And we're believing, God, that it will be made illegal once again. That's certainly a goal. Lots of people that are very passionate about wanting to end Roe v. Wade, and for good reason, because Roe v. Wade was a big mistake to have ever been made. It legalized first-degree murder, and for those that think, well, that's a harsh way to put it. Well, you know, reality can sound harsh sometimes, but many times we need to really be faced with the truth. Sadly, that's exactly what happened. Roe v. Wade made first-degree murder legal in this case. And so the sooner it's overturned, the better. And so it's important that we as God's people take our guidance, our cues, and our direction from the Word of God. And so today as we look at the topic, God's perspective on life and the life issue, our goal is to share what God's Word, His wonderful and powerful Word, has to share with us about life and understanding why life is important and God's heart and perspective. So we pick up once again in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, picking up once again at verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Verses 1 through 56, Luke chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for the glorious story here that we find, the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the story of also of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And Lord, thank you for the wonder of life that you show through this powerful chapter, the birth of the Messiah and the birth of his cousin John. But thank you, Lord, for the beauty that you place in every child and every baby. And thank you for the beauty of motherhood. Thank you for the gift of motherhood that you give to so many women, and you call them to be mothers that will bless the world as they carry out the unique and the wonderful calling upon their lives. Father, more and more, open up our eyes to see the wonderful gift, what a wonderful blessing it is, the gift of motherhood, and help mothers to recognize that every child that you bless her with is a precious gift you've sent into the world through her, and that the unique opportunity and journey is a journey of faith, but a journey through which you are to be glorified and the name of Jesus to be lifted up. More and more, help us as the church to love mothers, to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them. And help us, Lord, to proclaim the truth so that more and more women will, and the world will come to see what a wonderful blessing mothers and the ministry of motherhood is all about. Guide us in the church in passionately and faithfully supporting the work of life and the work of pregnancy clinics and the work of centers that are involved in the work of reaching out and helping moms, especially in a difficult time when she may be expecting. Help us to be the church you call us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, God's perspective on life and the life issue. We'll be right back.
Every day I face a million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices.
Music of J.J. Weeks, Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, God's Perspective on Life and the Life Issue. And of course, the powerful story that we, well, the powerful account that we find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 56, is two unique journeys of mothers who found themselves expecting babies in unique times in their lives. So I want to take time now specifically to share an article, and if you'd like to get a copy of the article, please let me know. The article is entitled Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. It's an article that we placed on the AFA stand. Again, it's entitled Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. I'm going to share it now. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 to 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Three unique stories of life, pregnancy, and motherhood are found in the Word of God under very unique and interesting circumstances. Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary are three women from the Old or New Testaments of the Bible who each became mothers through unique circumstances. The story of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Hannah was a young wife who had a great desire to be the mother of a little boy. She was barren until after praying and committing her son to the Lord in prayer. The Lord blessed her to conceive and birth a son. Elizabeth's story is found in Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah had prayed for a child for a long time, and after many years, the Lord blessed them with a son. When she did become pregnant, it was at an age that people would clearly consider her pregnancy as miraculous. Mary was a young virgin who was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Her story is found largely in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Yet before the consummation of their marriage, the angel of the Lord appeared to her and announced that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She was soon found to be with child by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit of God before she was fully married. In Luke chapter 1, Mary responded by giving God great praise and thanksgiving for the blessing and honor of the responsibility. There were other women in Scripture who longed to be mothers or treasured being a mother: Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, to name a few. A question that one might ask is this: why does any woman wish to be a mother? Mothers typically have to give so much of themselves to one or more children. They will typically sacrifice much of their time, strength, and attention on them. Obviously, during pregnancy, there can be much discomfort, inconvenience, and sacrifice by the mother in order to see after the well-being of the baby. Her child during and after pregnancy will be the focus of much of her time and attention. And this may be true for around 18 years or so of her life. It seems that sacrificial giving of oneself is just part of being a mother. Interestingly, though, Naomi in the book of Ruth speaks of her daughters-in-law finding, quote-unquote, rest each in the house of a husband, Ruth 1:9. Since when does a mother find, quote-unquote, rest in her home with a husband and a number of children? It seems, though, that Naomi was not so much talking about rest for her physical body. She is referring to rest as in a sense of fulfillment and contentment as a wife and mother of children. And there's definitely a sense of fulfillment for many women when they are blessed with certain gifts that only God can give. Some of those gifts are marriage, pregnancy, and motherhood. Without question, we see in God's word that many women long to bear children, long to be mothers, and often desire to have an abundance of children. Genesis 29 and 30. Tragically, we live in a world and culture where many do not value these precious gifts from God. Sadly, some people don't seem to place much value on them at all. In fact, some people would say that pregnancy and motherhood are a burden and an inconvenience. People who support abortion will often have and encourage this kind of attitude. Abortion is a major tragedy that is at war with the reality of pregnancy and motherhood. It strikes against most everything that is life, including pregnancy and motherhood. It destroys pregnancy along with the baby. Sadly, sometimes physically, emotionally, or otherwise, it may destroy the mother. Well, why would anyone be unwise enough to destroy that which God creates? There are so many women who long to be pregnant and have a baby, but have not been able to do so. Certainly, there are many mothers who are mothers through adoption, which is certainly a wonderful thing. Becoming a mother through adoption is also a gift from God. As we take time to pray for and honor our mothers, let's take time to honor God who gave us mothers. And may we recognize, honor, and cherish the gifts God has entrusted to our mothers, life, pregnancy, and motherhood. Again, the title of that article is Life, Pregnancy, and Motherhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. I want to share with you also, it's an article we've shared before, but it's one that lays out some very clear direction and understanding of God's perspective on the life issue. This article is entitled, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. Again, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. In the tragic abortion debate today, with people who say they love the Lord on both sides of the issue, who is right? In fact, a bigger question is, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides whether something is good or bad? Who decides what pleases the Lord and what does not please Him? The simple answer is, God does. God tells us His perspective and thoughts. He tells us what is right and what is wrong in His Word. In the present cultural landscape, we can actually determine who is right and who is wrong. We can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. We do not need to be mindful that this is, excuse me, we do need to be mindful that this is the issue. It's not a matter of who is God siding with. God doesn't take sides. He gives us His Word, and if we line up with His Word, we end up on the right side. If we ignore, disregard, and oppose the Word of God, we're on the wrong side of a matter. So now, let's look at what the Word of God has to say about abortion and life. Of course, abortion is the act of deliberately killing an innocent baby in the womb. It's the taking of an innocent and helpless life. It's actually first-degree murder. Here are some passages from the Bible that give us God's counsel and will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Specifically, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Proverbs 24, 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Proverbs again, 24, 12. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Then Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, any one of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Again, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31. Ezekiel 16, 20 through 21. And you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Again, Ezekiel 16, 20 through 21. Psalm 106, verses 37 to 38. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Then Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Then 1 John 1, 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Exodus 1, 15 through 22 and Matthew 2, 16 to 18, God's word tells us of two governmental leaders, two kings, who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the issue of life, standing up for life, and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to what God's word says in view of what he has to say about these issues? A correct response on the part of believers in the church is that we get passionately involved in aggressively standing for life. In the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, three people of quote-unquote faith found a man in great trouble and distress. Two of the three passed by on the other side of the road after seeing the injured man. Sadly, they did nothing to help. Yet when a Samaritan saw the man, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan went through great lengths to help the injured man. He used his time, energy, and money to assist the person in need. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable, gave a command, "Go and do likewise." Babies in the womb have too often been the man on the side of the road. The world has time and time again beaten them up, robbed them, and taken away their lives. May the church, the body of Christ, stand up today like the Good Samaritan. May we not pass by on the other side anymore. And may we stop supporting people who say they are believers yet support the killing of innocent babies. Let's rise up and faithfully stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and our world. Father, thank you again for the opportunity you've given us as your church to stand boldly for life. Father, anoint us, your church, afresh with the spirit of boldness and courage. Help us to courageously speak what your word says about life. Help us to courageously stand on what your word says about life. And help us, Lord, to courageously do whatever you're calling us to do to help both support life, support ministries that stand for life, and support ministries that reach out to women who find themselves expecting at a difficult time, and churches who will help end the tragedy of abortion. Help us to be and do what you want us to be and do in these regards. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking today at the topic, God's perspective on life and the life issue. We'll be right back. Music of Planet Shakers with Only Way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're continuing to look at the topic, God's perspective on life and the life issue. And we pick up now reading in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the Hebrews, give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Verses 15 through 22. Exodus chapter 1. Continuing Exodus chapter 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Verses 1 through 10, Exodus chapter 2. Father, once again, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful account that we find in Exodus chapter 1 and 2 of courageous women who look to you and look to your word and your wisdom for guidance and direction, even in a culture that was against them, a culture that was demanding the killing of children. Yet these women courageously stood up because they saw the beauty of children that you created, children that you entrusted to young moms, and they did their part. Thank you for the courage of Shipra and Pua, two young midwives who stood up for what was right, even in what would appear to be very daunting odds. Father, stir us more and more to be the courageous church that stands up for your truth and stands on your word no matter what's going on. Help us to be the loud, bold witness you want us to be, who are not only proclaiming truth, but also doing what you'd have us to do to support the work of Standing for Life. Help guide us so that we're wise enough to, as individual believers and as church fellowships, start ministries that need to be started to help support the work of life, and or come alongside and support pregnancy clinic ministries and other pro-life ministries that are out on the front lines doing the work you've called them to do. And Lord, help us as the church to recognize there's so much work to be done. Help us to know, Lord, that there's no time for any of us to be idle. Help us to be wise enough to seek your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, to know what you want each one of us to do. And help us to be fully about your business in carrying out what you call us to do, in helping to end the tragedy of abortion and to boldly stand for life. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, the final article we want to share is a church entitled Church and the Issue of Life. And we want to encourage you to prayerfully listen to what the Spirit of God may say to you as we share this, and be open to just saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do to help stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion?" Help us to, I hope that you'll be encouraged to know that God has work for all of us to do to help with this important task. This article is entitled Church and the Issue of Life. What should we do about the life issue? Should we preach or teach about it? Or should we avoid it so that we don't hurt feelings and open old wounds? If we preach and address it, would people be offended? Should we avoid controversial issues such as the life issue and abortion? Shouldn't we only preach and teach about culturally acceptable topics that will encourage people? These are questions and issues that the church as a whole, and the local church in particular, should address. We must preach and teach the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We're not called to condemn, but to proclaim the truth to a world deceived by the darkness of lying voices. If we fail to preach and teach truth, people will be lost and ultimately die in their sins. So often, important life issues are based on what is deemed culturally and socially acceptable. But culture and society are usually deceived because they do not love or embrace the truth of God's word. While preaching and teaching are powerful tools to wield, we, the church, must do more. We must also aggressively provide ministry to pregnant women in their time of need. What can be done? One solution is to vigorously and faithfully come alongside the ministries of local pregnancy centers. Many believers in the church are not aware of the powerful work pregnancy centers do in the local community. They provide a safe, loving, and warm environment for a woman in a crisis pregnancy. They love these women by providing wise and positive counseling that there are ways to get help that they need to keep their baby or lovingly place their baby up for adoption. They usually provide the services at no cost at all to the woman and often provide free baby items for the expecting mothers to receive. Many also are not aware that much evangelism, discipleship, and pastoral care is given to women and their families through the Ministry of Pregnancy Clinics. A director of one pregnancy center in the Mississippi Delta shared with me that around 500 persons had accepted Christ over the years through their ministry. So the question becomes, how can the local church get involved? Well, for starters, we can begin to see that the local pregnancy center is an extension of the church. A church fellowship can wisely decide to do some or all of the following things to support and encourage and help the work of local pregnancy centers. Number one, pray daily and faithfully for the ministry of your local pregnancy center. Much spiritual warfare happens at these centers. Number two, give generously to the work of your local pregnancy center, either a single generous gift or place them in your church annual budget. Number three, regularly recruit and send volunteers from your church to help at local pregnancy centers. And number four, donate baby items for your local pregnancy center, diapers, baby clothes, baby accessories, etc. And number five, regularly inquire about other ways your church fellowship can help. Local churches can also prayerfully consider beginning or sponsoring post-abortive healing Bible studies. In view of the fact that one in every three or four women have had an abortion in our culture, the number of people who are hurting from this tragedy is staggering. The sheer number of abortions is such that it necessarily must touch every single congregation in the country. Not to seek to provide the ministry of forgiveness and healing for these men and women would be negligent on our part. Forgiveness and healing are born in the Word of God. So prayerfully consider starting a Bible study. Finally, have creative events where the issue of life is addressed in a biblical, practical, and loving way. Host events that educate believers about this issue from a scriptural perspective. Use the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in January to do much spiritual education about this topic. Also, host a Festival for Life. But don't wait until January. Pray about doing something immediately because the urgency of the situation calls for it. These suggestions are only a few. There are many more things churches can do to intentionally and faithfully address the life issue. Pray for the Lord to guide you and your church family to do what He would have you to do faithfully to stand for life this year and beyond. Again, the title of this particular article was Church and the Issue of Life. If you'd like to get a copy of this or any of the articles we shared today, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share them with you. Father, thank you, Lord, for we, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for us as a nation. Thank you for your hand of grace upon us as a whole. Help us as the church and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And Father, thank you once again for the opportunities you've given us as your church to vigorously and passionately to get involved with the wonderful work of standing for life and ending abortion. Open our eyes and our hearts to see the need to do so much more than we see being done today. Lord, move upon every single listener to prayerfully seek and ask you, Lord, what do you want me to do? Help us to be willing to, when necessary, ask for permission to begin a ministry within our church that we invite others to be a part of, that help to get involved with Standing for Life and help us to prayerfully pursue just more educating ourselves about the importance of us being a people that are learning about the issues and the different sides of the issues and the different aspects of how this issue affects us, our culture, our government, our world. And help us, Lord, to be willing to do whatever you've called us to do. Help us to know, Lord, that you can use us all mightily as we simply are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. If you'd like to get any of the articles we've shared, just simply email us. We'll be glad to share them with you. Again, jparker@afa.net. Well, finally then again, as we usually do, if you're listening today, you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you sense the need that you do need to make that step. Of course, it's the most important decision in all of life. If you desire to accept Christ today, would you simply pray this prayer with us now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much. You came to this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. And Lord, today in a brand new way, I open my heart and my whole life to you. And Father, we're praying for persons who've gone down the road of abortion as well. Help them to see that they too can receive your forgiveness as well. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you to please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some materials and resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Or if you just have questions about your faith, you want to email those questions, we're glad to try to answer them. But we very much would like to be in touch with you and share with you some resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. As always, we appreciate you listening. Once again, jparker@afa.net is the email if you'd like to get, again, materials to help you grow or any of the articles we shared as well. Again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.